Hey, Marvelmaniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 238. We're recording this on March 29th, 2022. I'm just, ladies, do you know what is happening in less than 7 hours?
Yep. Listen, I'm calling it Moon Knight Day. I talked to a coworker and I was like, I was having a rough day and I was like, oh, this is the worst day, but tomorrow's Moon Knight Day. And she's like, what is that exactly? And I was like, let me tell you right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she's like, oh.
I was actually just talking to my wife before we started recording here, saying like, I may for the first time ever actually get up at 3 a.m. to watch this. And I've been like super excited about The Mandalorian and about WandaVision and, you know, all the Star Wars and MCU stuff on Disney Plus. But Moon Knight has been my jam for many years. Like over two decades. I'm very excited about this. I am stupid excited.
As you should be.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was the 29th. I honestly, like, I've been in a bubble of like days. I didn't even realize.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's funny, I
had posted a thing in Discord like midday today saying like, hey, really excited, Moon Knight premieres tomorrow. And there were like three people who were like, oh, crap, really? Like, it's tomorrow? I mean, you know, here I am counting down the seconds and, you know, people forgot. That's OK, though. That's all right.
It was all over my social media. So I was like, I knew I was counting down. I was like, yep, no, it's coming. I told my sister and I was like, yeah, Moon Knight's coming out on Wednesday. And she's like, what? I'm like, what do you mean, what? I'm like, watch the trailer. And I sent her the trailer again. And I'm like, go watch this. I'm like, I don't know if you've seen it. You should have seen it already, but go watch it. Because I'm like, no, it's happening. This is not a drill. We're very excited.
Yeah. Marvel social media has been hitting it pretty hard the last couple of days. It's been good. Folks, just a reminder, Guardians EMCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and show merchandise from TeePublic. The voices you've been hearing for this initial two and almost a half minutes. I'm Tim. Joining me tonight, Lizzie and Sheba. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
So we do have some news to get to tonight. So we're going to go straight to it. Ladies and gentlemen, on to our news. Lizzie, you did not do that last week.
I said do it.
No, you didn't do the whole on to our news thing.
I did not. And you know, it's my favorite part. I didn't. I tried.
Very disappointing.
I tried everything, Tim. I'm sorry.
No.
She did better than me. I tried. I was like, and no, I can't do it.
You ladies did.
Tried. There were some big shoes to fill. I could not do it.
No, you ladies did great episodes last week. I greatly appreciate it.
We were trying to honor you, Tim.
Yeah. So let's see. So there is a lot of like Moon Knight and Moon Knight related stuff that we're going to talk about here. So first of all, Deadline has some sources disclosing that Marvel is developing a project around Nova. This is involving Moon Knight's lead writer, Sabir Prasada. We are actually going to be, because of this, and we've actually intended on profiling Nova for a while. We've mentioned Nova a number of times. It's no surprise that there is a Nova project coming up. They, you know, we've been on Nova Prime and the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Kevin Feige actually mentioned Nova a few years ago. So like we've been gearing up for this. We've known it's going to happen. So we're actually Lizzie, not we, Lizzie. She is the key here. She is Nova Prime. Lizzie is profiling Nova tonight. You are, right, Lizzie?
I am. Okay.
You said, uh-oh. I was thinking, oh, no. Did she not do it?
Yeah. We'll see who shows up. I don't know. You know, you never know with
me. Ah.
I'm not going to lie. I've really missed Lizzie's profiles just because they were always so entertaining. And I'm just like, wow, this is so great. And I'm just listening. And then she'll include us in things. And I'm like, I wasn't ready because I'm listening to the story. I'm like, oh no, what was I supposed to say? What was my cue? Yeah. I'm really excited.
Yeah, they take a lot of work, so we'll see what happens.
All right. So for this Nova project, and really all it's being referred to now is the Nova project. We don't know if it's going to be a film. We don't know if it's going to be a Disney Plus series. I honestly, at this point, couldn't even make a guess. I'm kind of thinking that they're going to introduce Nova in a movie. It could be the Marvels. It could be Guardians 3. Don't really know, but. And then we're obviously going to get something else that is fully centered on Nova. So cool character. Looking forward to it. On to more Moon Knight related stuff. Mohamed Diab, who is the showrunner of the Moon Knight series, he spoke with Games Radar about Moon Knight. And in that discussion, he confirmed that there will be no second season of WandaVision. Why is he commenting on WandaVision? Well, he's in the know. He's now a producer. He's a showrunner. And basically in this interview, they were talking about the various Disney Plus series and things that might be coming up and projects they've been working on. And, you know, I think they were talking in the context of like sequel seasons. And he mentions, you know, WandaVision kind of did its thing, which we all kind of expected. There were some rumors up and down, but I didn't really ever expect a second season. Did you guys?
Nope, I was happy with how they ended it.
Yeah,
this wasn't news. It was like, duh.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were still kind of holding out for it or thinking, oh, well, hey, it's not confirmed that we're not going to get a second season. So we're not going to get it. No, we're not going to get it. We were never going to get one. The story of Wanda and Vision, I think, is fundamentally done. Are they going to cross paths again sometime in the future? You know, possibly. But yeah, never really imagined we were going to get another season of this.
Yeah, I think that's what we discussed before, is like this adherence to the old way of doing television. It is like this expectation that one season will lead into a second season. Whereas I think it's more like how British shows do series and then don't like link themselves to having to do another season. If they do another series, it's a completely different, like it maybe links, maybe it doesn't, but I don't think it's, yeah. I think it's a different way of thinking about it. And yeah. I think that we're just sort of like, you know, a little archaic in the way we're thinking about shows, whereas mm-hmm. streaming affords us an opportunity to do different things.
Exactly.
Yeah, and on top of that, because we also get the movies, they kind of link into the movies as well. So it's kind of, we don't really need to have more than one season because it tells the story we need to tell. And like Lizzie said, especially with British shows, I really appreciate that about British TV, is that they tell the story they need to tell and they move on. Besides Doctor Who, which has lasted forever, right. Most British shows and Downton Abbey, I think, are the only two that have lasted forever. But for the most part, you have a small show series. They tell what they need to tell and then they kind of move on, which I think is great.
And it's a model that, quite honestly, a lot of streaming services have picked up on, where it's kind of a, you know, these aren't like half hour episodes. They are, it's longer form storytelling in, you know, some cases like the Sherlock series. I mean, they were all kind of like mini movies. You know, so we're not, at least on Disney Plus, we're not like quite to that extent, but we are getting 45 minute episodes on average. You know, I think a lot of intent was that, you know, these were going to be closer to an hour. In reality, they're more 45 minutes. But you know what? I think they're putting a lot of production quality into 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. So some more Moon Knight stuff here. Mohamed Diab, obviously, he's doing a ton of interviews now. Last week was their red carpet premiere of this. And they apparently, in the red carpet premiere, showed the first four episodes. This is a 6-episode series. I think it's cool that they did only show the first four. So it obviously gave these reviewers and critics and all that a really, really good view of what this series is and what it's about. But it also didn't like give them the ending. So they are going to have to tune in just like the rest of us to get the ending of this. So I'm appreciative of that. So Diab said that he had actually originally pitched the Moon Knight plot to Marvel 2 years ago. And we've seen some interviews with Kevin Feige, and he said that, yeah, for the last several years, he has wanted to do something with Moon Knight. He's a fan of the character. So it seems, you know, this lined up very, very well with the vision that Mohamed Diab had. So he's said that he's really proud of the feedback that he received from last week's premiere, with a lot of people very specifically saying that it doesn't feel like a Marvel show, but in a good way. And essentially saying that the series, while it is part of the MCU, stands fully on its own. So, and there's a few related notes that I have here before I'm going to turn it over to you guys to kind of jump in with what you have here. So a few things to know. First of all, this is the first MCU character to premiere in their own Disney Plus series. Every other character, major character, has premiered elsewhere before becoming a Disney Plus series. So this is something that, aside from what exists in comics, they are building this character from the ground up right here in front of us. Kind of like what they did with The Mandalorian. And this is also not a character that was inspired or is overtly connected to an existing MCU character. So, like, you know, Ms. Marvel has a strong connection to Captain Marvel. So Ms. Marvel will be the next series where we haven't seen this character before. So, you know, she will be premiering in her own Disney Plus series. But we do also have that strong link to Captain Marvel, which we're obviously going to see more of in the Marvels and presumably actually also in the Ms. Marvel series. Similarly, She-Hulk, you know, a character that is derived from Hulk, and you know, so we are obviously going to be seeing her premiering in her own series as well. So this is something that is kind of now breaking for the MCU for what they're doing here with characters. The first four episodes, as I mentioned, were screened to critics. And from what critics have said about this, without any spoilers, so I really don't consider these things to be spoilers. So for folks who are listening here, I think you're safe. There are no cameos in those first four episodes from Avengers or any other major character from another series or film. Apparently, Thanos and the Snap aren't even mentioned. And New York City is not a primary location. So they're really breaking the mold of a lot of traditional MCU stuff and saying, okay, let's get away from all of it. Because there don't have to be these, you know, huge overt connections. There will be some Easter eggs, such as what we saw like in the in some of the trailers with the GRC, the Global Repatriation Council, which was that entity formed after everyone returned from the snap. We saw that in Falcon Winter Soldier. You know, they were actually part of the storyline there. So we know that this is in the MCU. We know that it takes place after Avengers Endgame. Diab promises a whole mix of things, comedy, drama, horror, and action. He said that Marvel fully supported his horror ideas in this. And I think, you know, we get a sense of that from some of the trailers we saw. They allowed the drama to be darker than what we've seen in the MCU so far. So that's what we have, again, coming up now in about 6.5 hours. Not that I'm counting down.
Not one day.
So with all that, ladies, I turn the floor over to you. What's your excitement about Moon Knight? What do you think about these things? What do you think about this? It's connected, but it's very separate. Any of that stuff. Go ahead.
I'm really excited. Like, I don't know the character as well as you do, Tim, but I'm just really excited to see this character. I know a little bit about it from our, you know, profile things, so I know a little bit, but I don't know the great detail of Moon Knight. So it's going to be nice to see a character from the beginning. The fact that it's not really super related to anything in the movies is also really exciting as well. I'm mostly excited to see the kind of the, not the, the, because I feel like horror is very different for a lot of people. For me, mm-hmm. horror is like, you know, terrifyingly like gruesome and gory type thing. Sure. I don't think it's going to be that level of horror. I think it will be creepy and like almost like true crime type things in that way, which I really appreciate like a lot more than the, exactly, that's it. I appreciate that a lot more than I do like the actual like gore, blood and gore type thing.
Sure.
So I'm really interested to see how they're going to put that spin on this and the mental health aspect of it, which is very important and which a lot of people are going through at the moment and are dealing with. So to be able to have that conversation or include that in Marvel is really important, I feel, and it's going to be interesting to see how they cover those that topic.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth.
Again, I'm like Sheba. I don't know a lot about Moon Knight other than what we've learned from you, Timothy, our resident Moon Knight expert. But I think like what hypes me obviously is like Oscar Isaac's like just, I think he's super excited to play this character. And I think his excitement is really bringing me along as well as your excitement. So, I mean, I think I'm at the point where whatever Marvel does, I'm in. And I think this is one of the, I think the last project where I felt like this was probably Guardians of the Galaxy or maybe Ant-Man, where I really didn't know anything about the characters going into it. And but I had full trust in what I was going to experience. And I think this is sort of like that. Maybe I would say like Guardians, because I think because that came before Ant-Man, it was very much like, you're going to have a talking raccoon? Like what? I think we've been through that felt like a real leap in a different direction. And yet seeing how they used that story and made Rocket become like an integral part as much as Captain America or Iron Man himself, like, it didn't matter. Like, and I think that that's how I feel about Moon Knight is like, it is a different tone than what we've seen. It is a different direction than what we've seen. It's even more cosmic than what we've seen, even more than Guardians or anything like that. And I think it doesn't matter. Like, mm-hmm. I'm already sold. So I think that that's, for me, it's like a trust thing just because they've earned it. So I don't ask a lot of questions at this point. I'm just like really excited to watch it. I'll probably set my alarm for 6 a.m. because with the Marvel shows, that's what I tend to do because I don't want to worry about spoilers on Twitter, which I know are a thing. So if you're worried about that, like, please be proactive because they're going to happen. Mm-hmm. And being mad like I was for WandaVision, I was so pissed that I had to get up at 6 a.m. I was like, whatever. This is just what it is to be a fan of Marvel and to watch in this era and to not be affected by spoilers. So like, that's just what we have to do. And we're going to do it.
Up. And if you don't plan on watching it early in the morning because you can't, just make sure to stay away from social media or be very careful or mute the channels that normally do talk about Marvel things, because guaranteed there are people out there who will not, you know, if it's Instagram, they won't put like a spoiler warning before they add in pictures. They'll post in their stories. On Twitter, they'll just randomly just pop it in there and you might be reading something else and all of a sudden, bam, here's a spoiler. So just be very careful out there.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see. So UK Disney Plus has actually given Moon Knight a more mature rating, of a 16 plus, which is where it rates its Netflix shows. So I really don't think Moon Knight is going to be as hardcore as the Netflix shows. But it apparently checks their boxes that they need to do that. So, which actually, I mean, it does excite me. Not that it needs to have the measure of violence and adult content that the Netflix shows do for it to be good. But this also is a more brutal character, and I want to see that brutality. And it doesn't have to be graphic. I'm fine with it being implied or, you know, little shortcut shots, that kind of stuff. Because also usually these ratings do have a, you know, sometimes it's an absolute, you know, is there, you know, this type of graphic violence or whatever. But also other times it is, there is a, you know, if it's less than X number of seconds or minutes or whatever, then it can be, you know, at a lower rating. I don't know specifically how the UK does there, so it may or may not involve that stuff. But yeah, I think also there is an extent simply of the more mature content with this, you know, with a lot of the mental health stuff, which they've been, you know, really pushing that's going to be a big theme of this show. And yeah, it is going to be violent and it's going to have some supernatural stuff and like, you know, horror kind of slash, like we said, maybe, you know, more, maybe more along the lines of psychological thriller. So yeah, it's interesting. Something I don't have in the show notes that I just recently saw, apparently, there have been some edits made on Disney Plus to some Disney Plus shows. And I'm not talking the Netflix shows. I guess Falcon and Winter Soldier, a couple of the bloodier scenes have been edited.
Interesting. Which is weird because they were there.
Less they were gory?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Is it because, are they doing that for, like, are they putting that up for if you have, like child protecting, like, whatever? You have the...
Two different versions?
Yeah, you get two different versions.
I have not verified this stuff myself, but from the things that I have read, no, apparently they are not doing two versions. Like, you know, we'll see one version in the, you know, if for any account users on Disney Plus who kind of have the mature content turned on, and, you know, the regular users having something edited. It just seems that there is one version out there. Maybe eventually they will do the original version and put it up in the, you know, kind of the adult content section. But it seems right now there is one version and it's been edited.
Seems like it goes the other way. That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, they're not editing the story. They are apparently still showing the same shots, but they are altering the appearances of those, whether it's the removal of special effects or by the addition of special effects that makes it look like there's less, like less blood, whatever. I don't know.
Just create a wall where there's like a 16 up. Like, I honestly think 16 and up is better because, like, do we really think 13-year-olds are prepared? I mean, that's a parental issue, like parental discernment issue, but like, knowing my niece and nephew when they were 13, I would have been like, I don't know about watching something gorier, you know? So 16 sounds like really now that my niece and nephew are 16, seeing the difference. I mean, and that's something only like a person who's experienced both ages could really understand. That's a different conversation for a different day, but like,
yeah,
you know, I don't know.
And I teach like 9-10 year olds. And the stuff that they're like, yeah, we've seen that before. I'm like, are you kidding? Why are you watching that? Like, that's so disturbing and so like bloody and violent. Why are you watching that show? And I don't know if they're watching with their parents or, you know, an adult there to kind of explain what's going on. Mm-hmm. From what it seems like, it just looks like they're just watching things on their own. So it probably is like, if they're watching things, and that's things on like Netflix and stuff, they're watching this stuff. So if they're doing that on their own on Netflix, where there is parental controls already as well, who's right. to say that they're not going to go around that and watch it anyways? But I mean, that not saying that Disney should, you know, edit things and put them up. What I'm saying is that our parents probably need to kind of be more observant of what is going on and parenting their children. Again, I don't have children. I'm just a teacher. All I'm saying is that maybe you need to have a more watchful eye, or for parents that are concerned, just have a more watchful eye on the things that your kids are watching. And if you choose to watch those kind of things with them, that you're having the conversations as you should anyways. Like, that's something that should, if you're not watching it, then at least make sure that, you know, you're keeping a watchful eye, that your kids aren't going behind your back and watching it. And if you do watch it with them, that you're talking about it.
Well, one, there's no dust about being a teacher. You're a teacher, and that's important. And as I'm a nanny and an aunt, and there's no dust about being that either. But I think that like it is a greater conversation that we have had in the past about like, is it the platform's responsibility to just not have that content, or is it their responsibility to create the kids and adults like walls in order for there to be more people able to interact through the platform? You know, I feel like that's more of the conversation than like, don't have it or edit it out. But again, I feel like that's a whole, like, we could go down a huge rabbit hole about that whole situation.
Yeah. I agree. Oscar Isaac says that he wants Moon Knight to be part of the Midnight Suns in the MCU. Specifically, he said he would like to see it composed of at least Daredevil, Punisher, Ghost Rider, and Blade, in addition to Moon Knight. What's that, Lizzie?
Did you have a heart attack when you said this?
I was very excited when I first read this. I'm like, first of all, for him, and like, I don't know how much of a comic book fan Oscar Isaac actually is. So for him to specifically be calling out Midnight Suns, he either knew about it or heard enough about the reference or something. Something piqued his interest. And considering that he is also a producer on Moon Knight, really has me thinking, you know, the guy's definitely done his homework and he's looked at a lot of different reference material that's out there for him. So, to be aware of the Midnight Suns and who they are and to cite specifically some of these characters, I'm really excited about it. And, you know, maybe we are going to see something like this.
See, I feel like most actors who are part of the MCU automatically, like, they, once they get into it, once they are hired for a character or they get that character, they get that role, they automatically just start reading comics, especially good actors. They're just like, well, it's time to start reading up on comics and reading more about this character so I can get more into the role. Yeah. So I think that he probably was directed by somebody to check that out, because I feel like that's the type of person, at least based off of his acting, that's the type of person he would kind of ask somebody and they'd be like, yeah, you should check this out. And he probably either did a review, like just a quick review over it, read the whole series, or is in the process of reading it. So that is probably why he's super excited about it.
I imagine that Kevin Feige has someone working for him who's like a comic book research person. Mm-hmm. And while I'm sure that Kevin can probably pull a lot of this stuff off the top of his head, he probably doesn't simply have the time for it. So like, he probably tells someone, okay, hey, we just signed on Oscar Isaac, you know, give him the most essential Moon Knight material that's out there. You know, and so then you have this person like probably writing up a bunch of narrative, probably like sending him a link to our profile of Moon Knight on Guardians. And then, you know, just like grabbing up all these comic books and stuff and shipping it to him and saying, here you go. Here's your, you know, here's your character research.
Is one of us that he's a nerd and that he like read it as a kid. Like, I just feel that about him. So
yeah. I'd love it. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Ryan Coogler. This is now we're now transitioning into the non-Moon Knight stuff. Ryan Coogler is reported to be involved in the development of the Ironheart series, which is exciting.
That makes sense.
It does make sense, because her first appearance is going to be in Wakanda Forever, the sequel for Black Panther. And I think Ryan Coogler is a freaking genius. So, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Attach him to it. We don't know what he's going to be doing. We don't know. I don't know if they've announced writers and directors yet for Ironheart. I don't remember. Or he could just simply be basically one of the producers and these have, you know, leveraging a little bit of creative control, which I think is fantastic. So,
well, I think one of the same things we've seen from the Marvel juggernaut is when a director or somebody attached to a project steps out as somebody who then is attached to the project over and over, which he was so linked to all the conversations about Black Panther and Chadwick and everything that was happening within the Black Panther world. I think we see Marvel and Disney Studios sort of like give that power to that person, as we saw with the Russo brothers, as they started to like distinguish themselves within the Cap trilogy, you know, Cap 2 and 3, and then lead in Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. And I think we've seen that with Taika, and I think we've seen that with so many different directors and producers. So it makes kind of a lot of sense. Jon Favreau on the early days. And now it makes sense that Ryan Coogler would be somebody who really proved himself with Black Panther and is giving, you know, more power within the scope of what Marvel's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome for him. I'm really happy for him that he's getting the recognition that he deserves. And I really can't wait to, number one, see Wakanda Forever, and then also see what his involvement is with Ironheart.
Yeah.
Big yeah.
Here's an interesting thing. The Incredible Hulk movie is going to be available on HBO Max for streaming starting April 1st. So the reason why Incredible Hulk, for those who don't know, why that movie is not available on Disney Plus and actually can be a little challenging to find is because the production studio on that is Marvel Pictures. Marvel Pictures controls, or Universal Pictures rather, controls the distribution rights on this. And this was actually kind of a surprise because Universal has an agreement in place with Amazon to do streaming of a lot of their stuff over on Prime Video. They also put an agreement in place with, they're part of NBC Universal. NBC owns the Peacock streaming service. So it was, there was an expectation that Universal movies were going to be going to Peacock. But apparently they're going to HBO, or at least this one is, or some of them. I don't really understand it. Obviously not that it is regarded by many people as that important of a movie within the MCU. I mean, it's a fine movie. And maybe I'll watch it because I haven't watched it in a long time. I mean, I do happen to have HBO Max for free because I'm a AT&T customer. But I don't know. Any particular thoughts on this?
Which one is Incredible Hulk? And is that the Edward Norton or the Eric Bana one?
Edward Norton. It's the canonical one.
Edward Norton and Liv Tyler?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's the one that was filmed in Toronto.
There you go. Yes. Yep.
That's all I remember. I was like, hey, look.
It doesn't even bear mentioning.
I know. That's how I remembered Eric Bana was like, I first was introduced to him as an actor was through the Hulk movie. Yeah. I always forget. And I'm like, I don't even remember what else he does. That's every time I think of that, I'm like, oh yeah, Eric Bana from this movie. But I do remember that The Incredible Hulk was definitely the superior movie out of the two. And it was filmed in Toronto. So, you know, I'm okay with it.
I love it. Honestly, like I really love that movie. And I know it gets a lot of hate, but like, I love it. I will defend it to the death. And I think there's a lot of good things going on within it, whether or not like Mark Ruffalo came along and did a better job with Hulk or not, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, it was a good movie. And Hulk is a tough character to make like a hero because he's not one. And so I think it was always going to be hard. I mean, Ang Lee's Hulk is atrocious as a piece of film. It's hard to watch. It is not a part of the MCU nor a part of like Marvel when it became Marvel. It predates that. But I love it. And I wish it would be like officially. I mean, it is official because, you know, Thunderbolt Ross becomes part of Civil War and he is an integral part of what we see later on. So it is canonized and it is part of the MCU.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I really wish that Liv would be like canonized in her own way because she deserves that, honestly.
Yeah.
And like, are you teaching me that freaking Natasha has chemistry with Hulk, whereas Liv wouldn't have had chemistry?
No.
Liv would have had such history, and anyone who doesn't think that can come fight me.
And like they did have that episode in What If where they literally took part of from the Incredible Hulk movie and put it that part of it in What If. So I was expecting that, you know, I'm still hoping that they kind of let Liv Tyler come in at some point and somewhere, and you know, maybe even in an alternate universe, and then she's there and she like passes through a portal and then she's like, you're not the Hulk or you're not Bruce, and like just anything. I would anything. Yeah, exactly.
If there is anything the MCU needs, it is definitely more Liv Tyler. I will sign up for that. Big fan.
If anything, the world
could use more Liv Tyler.
Yeah, the world needs more Liv Tyler.
We love her. We're stans.
Yeah. So let's see. Last topic here for tonight. James Gunn says the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which is releasing this December, which, by the way, is going to be releasing ahead of Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Nice. Is quote, the greatest thing he has ever done. He did a Q&A on Twitter last week. He said that the movie is going to introduce more than one great new MCU character, including, quote, one of the greatest MCU characters of all time. So of course the greatest MCU character of all time, it's pretty like open to interpretation and individual opinions. And if we have not already had the greatest MCU character of all time, then you know who is it? I mean, we've had Captain America and Spider-Man and Iron Man. So,
it's going to be Mephisto. Let's be honest.
It might be.
Like, we haven't had the X-Men. So.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't even know who it could be. You're right, Tim. Like, it's the greatest character of all time. Like, who could that? Is it? Like, and we've seen James Gunn's the Suicide Squad, and how he brings in I loved it. And how he brought in, like, some of the randomest characters that you may not have, you know, like the big giant. The giant starfish thing. Like, I mean, a great character that you never would have expected to be on screen. So who does James Gunn think is the greatest MCU character of all time? Yep. Really, it's not even our greatest, it's his great. Like, who do you think he would choose as the greatest MCU character of all time? And I cannot wait to find out who that is.
Probably have to like comb through his tweets for the last X number of years to see what references prior to his contract with Marvel Studios he has ever made to any, you know, Marvel Comics characters ever.
I'm sure there's somebody out there who's already done that research.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Well, and the fact that he is like single-handedly responsible for making Star-Lord, Drax, Rocket, Groot, Nebula, Gamora, all of them like iconic in the MCU, says that he has a really specific sensibility for what that even means. Because the characters that he has touched on and brought to life, Ego and all of these other people, like Hondo, like it's completely off the wall. So it's not even going to be anything we expect, which is
definitely.
And James Gunn of it all. James Gunnian of it all.
It really James is. And so the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special will in fact be, you know, quote, canon in the MCU. This is going to flow presumably from Thor Love and Thunder, because we know the Guardians are going to be in that to some extent. So we will then have this, and then this is going to flow into Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which comes out, I believe, next summer. This holiday special is expected to be 40 minutes long. Something I picked up out there. I don't know how folks are already getting this information, but it's somewhere out there that it's going to be around 40 minutes long, which, again, isn't a huge surprise because, again, 40, 45 minutes is around the sweet spot for most episodic things, at least. This is not going to be episodic. It's going to be a one shot, but So we know they'll be able to capture a fair amount of story in there. And of course we expect it to be damn funny and it'll be good. It'll be good. Mm-hmm. So, ladies, that's all we have for this episode. And anything to add before we depart?
Nailed it.
Yep, exactly. Said all I needed to say.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, ladies. Thank you, everyone, for listening. First of all, before you listen to anything else, go watch Moon Knight if you haven't already. By the time this comes out, I'm actually hoping to release this tonight before. So, because tomorrow morning, my brain is just going to be Moon Knight.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And do be sure to catch our second episode this week, which will be a profile on Nova. There will be miscellaneous character appearances, I'm sure. That's what we got. So, and aside from that, do catch us next week for more news and discussion on Guardians of the MCU. Oh, we have the return of MCU TV, do we not?
Yes, we do.
We do. I don't know when we're recording that. I think I'm included in this. I think I'm involved.
You're 100% included in this because it won't be the same if you weren't there.
I'm just going to be so excited.
I know. And that's why you need to be there.
I'm just pitching this, but it should just be Tim monologuing about his joy about Moon Knight.
Be be like a live watch or like live reaction of Tim. Just there's the MCU TV and then there's live watch with Tim, and that's just Tim just, you know, getting really excited about the show and watching it.
It should just be like 10-minute episode prior to him watching every episode of Moon Knight and just his fresh reaction.
I should just put up a webcam in my living room for 3 a.m. this morning and, you know, just let everyone watch my face as I'm watching the as I'm watching the show.
You don't even have to have like, you can just, it can be muted and silent and just your facial reaction. That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like live
bonus content
2008, like that, the hot thing in 2008, 2009 live cam.
Yeah.
That'll
be bonus content.
For any and all review of Moon Knight, I'm going to channel my inner Lizzie. There will be unbridled excitement.
And I do have that in my life.
And you're going to be in costume, obviously.
Oh, gosh.
You know?
I do not have a Moon Knight cosplay, but, you know, I can whip something together, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Just grab a sheet, wear a white sheet as a cloak, and you're like 90% there.
Exactly. All right, folks, we're going to wrap this one so we can head on to the next one. So that's all we got. Take care. Bye-bye.